Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome, you shuffologies. We are your shuffologists.
Yes, fellow shuffologists.
Fellow shuffologists.
Yeah,
I in this great shuffology world.
The followers of shuffology.
Can you guys come up with a fan name for yourselves,
interns?
Please?
No, no.
Can we outsource that to you, interns? Now, this week, ladies and gentlemen, and non-binary pals, we are talking about B-sides,
hey.
The unreleased, the tracks that weren't the main single from the album, or if we're talking proper old school records, then the actual B-side that you flipped over that wasn't the lead track that was released.
Track.
The secret right. track, the hidden track.
Mm, usually the track that was considered not as good.
Yeah, usually that's why it's the B-side. Mm. Either that it had some sort of reason for coupling it with the A-side, with the main single, or that it was just, they wanted to release it, but it wasn't as strong as the
right.
A-side. And that's what we're discussing tonight. We hope that you're as excited as we are. We're going to take a short little break, and we'll be right back with Josh DeVetta.
Hey, ladies, come listen with me, Mixie Plum, as wonderful women I know, or even just met, share their soulful stories and experiences for them and us to all learn and heal together. But in my own Riot Girl kind of way, you know, explicitly, confidently, and loud. We all want to speak, we all want to be heard, we all want to be understood. Roar more with me and open your lady mouth. Disclaimer, lady mouth is also for dudes too.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking about B-sides, those tracks that maybe the band, maybe the producers, who knows, decided just weren't going to cut it as strong as them A-sides. And we're talking with Josh DeVetta about his choices.
Hi. Well, thank you again for the microphone, everybody. Now, I've gone more deep album cuts. That's the choice. That's the pathway mm-hmm, I've gone mm-hmm, down. Mm-hmm. Songs that aren't singles, but are definitely on the album.
Yeah.
That's my B-sides
mm-hmm.
Sort of thing. So, first off the bat, I wanted to actually choose a Mariah Carey song. Oh, what?
So, of course. I thought it was gonna be
So, you know, it's a standard of me to choose at least something Mariah Carey per podcast. and this is this song is called Outside, and it's from the album Butterfly, which was released in 1997. Now, this is one of the few songs that actually have it's not a produced R&B. It's really like it's all live instruments, basically. It's still very R&B, and the song is about being biracial and how you kind of walk on the earth and be around people, but you still feel like you're on the outside compared to everybody else.
Mm.
And so there's some really, really beautiful lyrics in here as well. Opening, it goes, "It's hard to explain inherently. It's just always been strange that you're neither here nor there, always somewhat out of place everywhere, ambiguous without a sense of belonging to touch, somewhere halfway." Feeling there's no one completely the same, which is really, 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 really deep and really, really emotional.
Mm.
And she sings a living crap out of the song as well. It's actually one of her best vocal performances, and very rarely, not many people know about it, which is really, really cool. So it's like the last track on Butterfly. So if you have a moment, well, it's going to be on the playlist anyway, but it's very, very live drums, which is always exciting.
Yes.
Live like e-piano, all that kind of stuff. It's really, 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 really cool. So that's my first choice, Outside, get into it. If people go, Josh, what song really explains how you feel? This is the song I direct them to. Which is very, very cool. All right, my next choice is exciting. Okay, so It's a Christina Aguilera song.
Josh just perked up so hard. I know. Like, oh,
there was a light. Yes.
Yeah. No, I've always wanted to talk about this song, but I never had the right crowd to talk about. Mm. Well, a lot of my friends aren't as like nerdy about music as I am. Like,
sure.
Anyway, so the, Christina back in 2002 had this incredible album called Stripped, and it really
love
was
it.
Like an album for a particular generation. And
yeah,
this was
absolutely.
Her like, I guess like this was her way of like getting out of the pop bubblegum pop girl image, Disney yeah. mm-hmm. former Disney star, all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and really coming into her.
She's
into
out
her
of the
own,
bottle.
Yeah,
into
she's
the
out of the
spotlight.
Bottle,
yeah.
into the spotlight, and really, but also she really. We talked about how Alanis Morissette everything had to be authentic to her, mm-hmm. even down to the instrumentation, everything like that. This is her Jagged Little Pill.
Sure, right.
In that way. You know, straight off the bat came out songs like Dirty.
Yeah. Love that song.
I love Fighter. Like, I think that song
Beautiful.
Is so good. Beautiful as
yep.
well, which is like
yeah,
very,
huge.
Very, and I, yeah, very personal song to me as well. And the song I've chosen from that album, it's like track 5 or 6 from memory, and it's called Infatuation.
Yeah.
And it's this Latino inspired, I've got flamenco guitar, but on the back of a hip hop beat.
Yeah.
And it's talking about her first ever love who was a Hispanic boy. Mm. He was actually a backup dancer of hers back in the bubblegum pop days called, his name was George or Jorge is what you say in Spanish.
Yes.
In Latino. And I don't know why I even put that accent. Come on, appropriation. Anyway, so so this is all about, because he really was her first love, and it was all about like when you're in love for the first time and how you make excuses for this person because you're in love, and you kind of like ignore red flags because you're infatuated by this person.
Yeah.
I think about the first time you ever like really had a big crush or you love somebody and you want to know what they're doing. You were like wondering what they're doing with their day. You're looking at your phone hoping that some text messages come through. Like,
yeah, so relatable.
So it's really, really, and so it was all Latin inspired to kind of, you know, I guess encapsulate the story of him being like this Hispanic boy that had this hold over her because she would have been in love for the first time, sort of thing. So that's my second choice, Infatuation, Christina Aguilera. Get
Beautiful.
Into it. Stripped is a great album. So if you haven't heard it, it's nearly 20 years old, that album.
I know, I can't.
Which is amazing. And it's still a solid piece of work to this day.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, just having that album on repeat on my CD.
Same.
Yeah. At the end of my bed every night.
Love that. And like
I used
the voice
to drive
within.
Around town. Yeah,
yeah, the voice within.
Yeah, the
that's
voice
right.
within.
I was trying to remember all the tracks from it. As you
and there's another one on there, I'm Okay, and it's about her being witnessing domestic abuse as a child and everything.
Yes,
so really,
yes.
Really good, really, really good album. Anyway, my next choice. The next three are really more like lighthearted. Well, not actually, though, they're not. But anyway.
Just kidding.
I am choosing Katy Perry.
Of
now,
course.
I have a bit of a past with Katy Perry being like a big fan of hers and
I've seen
traveling
photos.
Around the country to see her shows and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, this is the last song on her album, One of the Boys. Now, this album had I Kissed a Girl, Wake Up in Vegas.
I guess it's a first.
So her first,
was it her first album?
One of her first album was actually a Christian gospel album. This is her
second.
This is technically her second album.
But her first pop sort of mainstream.
Her first pop, puree? No,
foray.
Foray, that's the word.
Yeah.
I'm as like, Katy Perry.
I'm thinking of a blender.
One, her first album was with her real name, which is Katie Hudson.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so this is first as Katy Perry.
Yeah, first as Katy Perry. Really, really good, like solid piece of pop album sort of thing. Now this song's called I'm Still Breathing, and it's about like... I kind of feel like a little bit like this at the moment, like where you're kind of just like walking around, you feel a bit lifeless and you are just going through your each and every day, your groundhog day sort of thing, like
the
every
emotions.
Day's the same,
mm-hmm.
all the emotions and everything like that. But you go like, I'm still breathing. Like, yep. I'm still breathing, but I'm barely alive. That's actually what the lyrics are. I'm still breathing, but we're barely alive. And going through a breakup and everything as well. Like,
sure.
So when everything in your world's kind of really, really shit, but you can go, well, at least I'm still breathing. Like,
yeah.
Sort of thing. Like, you know, but I think like, you know, are you alive? You're alive, but are you actually living? That's the whole, like,
right.
I guess like question posed. What, not a pop sound, like it's not, doesn't sound like I Kissed a Girl or what's the other song, Hot and Cold or Thinking of You or anything like that. It really is stands on its own.
It's very different from the tunes that she released.
Yes, exactly.
yeah because
exactly
that's
right.
The thing that I notice about a lot of pop stars is that when they release songs from their album, they're all pretty cookie cutter in a way.
Yes.
They're very similar because they're like, well, if the public liked that, then they're going to like this and they're going to like
and
this.
And I'm sure it's, you know, like, and there's a whole team behind them.
Oh, exactly.
Persuading
exactly.
them
exactly.
Which is why everyone should still get into albums, because that's when you actually get in the body of work sort of thing.
Yes, exactly.
I've also got a Taylor Swift's choice in here. Now, this this wasn't a single, and it's from her third album, Speak Now. Mm-hmm. This one where she's got the purple dress on the front cover.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, the song is now, this song is very like quintessential Taylor Swift, a bit whiny. The song's called Enchanted. And the song says, like, it talks about like when you meet someone and you never see them again, but you kind of like are thinking about them.
Right. Kind of being
like, what could be? And I remember at the time I was kind of like really crushed. I think I was in university when I heard this song, and I was really crushing hard on someone. And the bridge goes, please don't be in love with someone else. Please don't have someone waiting on you. Like, I was like, that's how I feel right now. Like, you're kind of like hoping, waiting, wishing that they don't have anyone else that they're pursuing, even though I barely know who you are, sort of thing.
Sure.
And so it's very Dear Diary. And yeah, just really, really nice. Like, you know, I'm kind of like got my earphones in at 11 p.m. at night crying just to get all my depression out of my system. Sort of thing. And I'll put on a song like this.
I'll do that sometimes too if I'm like, I feel really sad. I'm going to put on a song that makes me sadder.
Yes.
And really sit this one out.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Right. Sometimes you just have to do that, you know?
You do. And it helps. Through it.
It works, yeah.
Yes, that's a Taylor Swift choice. Really, really solid. Deep album cut. I am starting to fall in love with Taylor Swift again. I'm so, I go through like cycles of like loving and not loving Taylor Swift. Yep. Okay, and then my last choice is actually a Britney Spears song.
Wow.
Shout out to my
shout out to my friend Brendan because he's gonna gag when I choose this. And it's a song called Autumn Goodbye. It's from her very first album.
Wow.
Not a single. When you listen to it, you'll be like, this song just sounds gay as hell.
Oh my gosh.
And the song doesn't mean anything. It's just like autumn, and the song just literally goes autumn goodbye, autumn goodbye.
It's just like I'm giving.
Exactly. From her
you
baby
have to one, be yes. auto-tuned there to get that sound.
So, Baby One More Time. That's the album it's from.
I remember that.
And song. Yeah, and so yeah, I just chose that because it's not a single. I just love Britney Spears. So that is why I chose it, just to mix up. So yeah, I've got a very pop princess.
Yeah.
Deep album cut. So, and also I looked at everyone else's choices on our little sheet and I was like, okay, I'm going to go complete opposite to everybody.
Yes.
Which is cool, adding some.
And then I've got no honorable mentions.
Oh, wow.
None. I'm impressed. Single one.
You know, because it was my mandate to have the shortest segment out of everyone for this episode. So
yeah.
I didn't choose any.
You did really well.
And that's it. That's my playlist. That's my five choices.
Oh, that's amazing.
Pop sensation. Mm. Thank you so much, Josh. That was beautiful. I can't wait to listen to those peppery pop. Oh, I was trying to think of another word for divas that didn't come quickly enough. It started with P for the alliteration.
Yeah. Well, Pop Princess is definitely the best.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back with Asavi's Choices.
You've got to kill your darlings, as the writer's adage goes, and I want your help killing mine. Are you a lover of the fantasy adventure novel? Have you ever wanted to add a class at Hogwarts or rearrange the nations of Middle-earth? Perhaps you'd redesign the alethiometer or tweak the cosmos of the Discworld. Now's your chance. Kill My Darlings is an interactive fantasy writing podcast where you take on the role of editor and give feedback on a brand new world as it's created, or just vicariously enjoy the writing process. I'm waiting for you to kill my darlings right now, wherever you listen to good podcasts. Kill My Darlings is proudly part of the That's Not Canon Productions podcast network.
And we're back. Alrighty, well, we just had a powerful five songs chosen for the last playlist. You know, real, real, real good. Actually, some of those songs are actually really, really good, I do have to say.
Yeah.
Now, we're just going to just remind you that we are talking about deep album cuts, B-sides. That's what we're talking about today with our choice. It's something a little bit different. We've done a lot of, you know, real mainstream music, I guess, you know, a lot of singles did a bit of maths before. We've now actually reviewed over 255 songs for our Shuffleology playlist. So I think that deserves a round of applause.
Amazing.
I can't wait for us to get to our first 500. That would be amazing.
Oh my
thanks,
goodness.
Audience.
Party.
So we're gonna throw it over to Wasabi.
Hey.
And she's going to tell us her five songs to add to this killer playlist.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Josh. Yes. Now, like Josh, I also did some deep cuts and some actual B-sides. So depending on when the song was released, it could have been a B-side. And some might be slightly obscure. Now, my first song is called Plastic Fantastic. And it's by a band called Flesh for Lulu. They're a British band back in the 90s. They had a slight resurgent in the 2000s at some point. This tune, I honestly don't remember where I heard this tune. I was quite young. It came out in 1989, so I was probably grade six around that time. I love the melody in this song, in the pre-chorus and leading into the chorus. It's really reminiscent of that 80s pop synth sort of sound, you know, because we're just coming out of the 80s. It kind of makes no sense. It's just a pop tune that I really, really loved. This song is so obscure that there are no facts about it anywhere. There's nothing. I like looked for about like 30 minutes. That's as much time as I had
to
give
it.
That's a lot of
time. That's a lot of time on one song.
Yeah, exactly.
Finding
and I'm just
anything.
Trying to find, and other than like there's, you know, you can listen to it on YouTube. That's about as much as there is about the song. But it's a great song. It just, I remember laying in my bed listening to it over and over. It's the last song on the album. Now, I had a tape, for those of you who might not know what tapes are.
Oh,
they were these these little cassette things that we used to put in their actual tapes. So that's how I used to listen to the song. It was a great song. I love it. That's really all I have to say about this song.
There's nothing else to say.
There's nothing else. Check it out. All right. Now, my second song is quite possibly one of my... It is definitely my favorite Aretha Franklin song. It's an Aretha Franklin tune. It might be one of my all-time favorite songs to sing. I love singing the hell out of this song. When I perform this song, people lose their shit over it. They think it's a great song. I was surprised to learn that it's a B-side.
Right.
It's so the name of the song is Rock Steady. Ooh. I'm sure, like, I performed this at Grace's party.
You did. You did.
And it's the B-side.
Everyone keeps talking about this party. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really good.
It was epic. The police were there.
No,
twice. Now, Rock Steady is the B-side to the song Oh Me Oh My, I'm a Fool for You Baby, from the album Young, Gifted and Black. Released in 1971.
I love that album. It's
yes,
my
favorite
so
good,
album.
So good. Yeah. And it just it shocks me that Rock Steady is a B-side because it's got this like hard hitting funky drum beat, and you know it's got the little guitar riff that comes in, and you got the horns and the ba-na-da-da-da-da-da-da that come in the breakdown. It's just like I love every moment of this song, like the vocals that come in and the chorus and the way she's singing, and it's just. She sings it with such ease, you know, and just such attitude.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, it's such a great song. So it was released as a B-side and it reached number 2 on the best-selling soul singles. It reached number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100. And the A-side tune, the Oh Me Oh My song, only reached number 73 on the Billboard Hot 100. So they clearly didn't get their wires correct.
Yeah.
This song has been covered by a number of different artists, including Patty Austin in 1994. So that version we perform in our Respect show. Prince covered it in 2007. Yes, and I listened to it, and Prince adds this funky like bass groove to it. Oh, mind-blowing. I didn't actually realize, but I have that album of Prince's that has that song on it, but I've never actually listened to the album because it came as part of a coffee table book, this massive, amazing coffee table book that I have of Prince, and there's an album stuck in it, and I've never listened to it. I'm going to go listen to it. and then another one of my favorite bands from the 80s, Hall & Oates, did a yes they did a version back in 2004 on an album called Our Kind of Soul, and I listened to that as well, and it sounds quite good. So I love Hall & Oates. So yes, Rock Steady, one of, if not the best in my opinion, Aretha songs that has ever, like, it just has everything. The song is everything to me. My next tune is a Temptations tune. It was actually written for the Temptations, and it featured Edwin Starr and Yvonne Fair. singing. It was written by Barrett Strong and Norman Whitfield, and it's called Funky Music Show Enough Turns Me On.
Show Enough.
Show Enough. And it's actually spelled Show Enough, S-H-O-N-U-F-F.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Show Enough.
Giving you the phonetics. Yeah.
Exactly, in case you didn't understand. And now, and again, not much, there's like no information about this tune either. I don't even know that it was actually released anywhere. So it came out in 1971. It was covered by a band called the Utah Saints, which I think are kind of like an electronica sort of band. And they featured Edwin Starr in their cover in 2000. And then the song was used on a FIFA 2000 game. So it was used in the game. Okay. But, and I didn't like their version. The version was terrible. Well, it wasn't terrible, but I was like,
not for you.
Yeah. I mean, an Edwin Starr sounds great in it. The video is quite funky. Yeah, it's like the two guys from the Utah Saints, and they're cut off at the waist, and then they have like other people's legs down moving for them. It's weird. I don't know. And then Edwin's doing this like weird robotic sort of movement, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? But I love the Temptations. So, I mean, we all know the Temptations because they've done songs like My Girl, and, you know, they're that really kind of nice, like, I love you sort of. But they also have this real funky side where they were releasing some really funky tracks in the 70s. And so I really like this one, Funky Music Show Enough Turns Me On. And it's true. So that's my third song. So now my fourth song is off the Midnight Oil album Blue Sky Mining, which was released in 1990.
Oil.
Yes, a little Australian band, if y'all didn't know. And the song that I really loved off that album is One Country. And I loved singing the song when I was a little kid. So again, grade 7-ish. And I used to sing this song. I think I listened to the song every day for like maybe 3 or 4 months. I'd come home from school and I would just drop my stuff and sit on the kitchen counter. And again, I had a tape, so I'd pop it into the tape deck and I would just listen over and over.
Rewind it from the last time.
Yeah, exactly. I would have to like fast forward, like stop. Did I get to the right spot yet? No, I'm going to fast forward a little bit or stop, play. Yep. And so I would play this song over and over and over. And now on this album, there were only 3 songs that were released on the album. So you had Blue Sky Mine, Forgotten Years, and King of the Mountain. And the album won the group a number of awards, of ARIA awards that year in 1991. So, I mean, they won Best Group, they won Outstanding Achievement, they won Best Cover Art, Best Video, Album of the Year. So the album itself did amazing. But this was my favorite song, and this song was never released. And I love the song because it's very simple. The melody is very simplistic. The message in it is that, you know, we're all one country. Like, we all have the same worries. You know, we all have to come home from work. We all have to have dinner. We, you know, and it's just, it's all about Australia being one. And I really love that message. And
we
I just,
are one.
But yeah, we are many. Exactly. It's a little bit better than that song.
No.
That is a great song as well. But I really love One Country, and it's just got this harmonious pre-chorus, and it's just a beautiful song. It's a very, very beautiful song. So I love singing it. I don't know that I knew much about Australia at the time. Like, I knew about Australia, you know, because I used to watch things on television, but I never really thought about it as in, oh, I wonder if I'll go there someday, or what would it be like to be there, or, you know, what are the people like there? To me, it just existed, but I never really thought about it. So I enjoyed music from there because it kind of made me think a little bit about, like, I wonder what the people are like there. And you know, this album was quite protesty, if you will. Like, you know, Blue Sky Mine was about the asbestos incident that they had at that particular mine. And so it made me start thinking about the people in Australia.
Yeah.
So it was a really good album, kind of opened my eyes a bit to the world. And now my last tune, and I think a lot of people might be shocked to find that this one is a B-side, because it is quite possibly, as someone wrote, one of the most popular instrumental rock and soul songs ever, and it's one of the most popular R&B instrumentals of its era, written over a 12-bar blues. Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs. Yep, everybody knows that song. Even if you don't know that song, you will know it when you hear the first
organ.
Yeah,
you hear organ. The first riff.
Yeah, and you're like, ah, yes, I know that song. And that was, so it was originally, It was originally released as a B-side to the song Behave Yourself in May of 1962. And they, when the album had been pressed, they sent it out to all of these different radio stations and they got them to play it. And people really liked Green Onions. And so they quickly re-released it in August of 1962 as an A-side.
Before anyone noticed.
So they were like, oops. And, you know, and if that was a few months, like, and today we'd be like, that's not a quick release. But back then, that probably would have been really quick. Right. So I'm curious to know if anybody actually has a copy of the pressed B-side album, because that's probably worth a lot of money if you have it as a B-side. But yeah, so those are, I mean, I've got one honorable mention.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm not going to say anything about it. I'll just say what it is because I know it's on Gracie's list. We Will Rock You. So, yeah. So that's my
foreshadowing over here.
So that's my honorable mention. But those are my five songs.
Amazing. Well, they're killer choices, Asabi, as always.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait to press shuffle on this playlist. Mm. It's always an interesting dichotomy of music that we have.
Some obscurity and some well-known.
Exactly right. Well, we're going to have a quick little break. We'll come back and we get to hear Gracie's choices. Stay tuned.
I believe in love. Do you believe in love, Amy?
I do, Gina. I also really believe in helicopter dates, bottomless champagne, sparkly cocktail dresses, and big-ass red roses.
Well, you'll be surprised to hear that we're obsessed with The Bachelor. We will be sharing that obsession with you and discussing all things Bachelor and Bachelorette.
We'll be talking about memorable moments, who we think Batchy will choose, and the lessons we learn along the way.
So prepare your cheese board,
grab the wine,
and get overly emotionally attached with us, your hosts,
Amy Duro
and Gina Schwartz.
Love Batchelly.
Two gals here for the right reasons.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
And welcome back. You're listening to Shuffology with Asabi Goodman and Josh DeVetta.
Hi.
Hi. I was not prepared for that. And the wonderful Gracie Mack. Now, today we have been talking about B-sides or the deep album cuts or the unreleased songs from albums. And we've heard from Josh and myself. And now we'd like to hear from Miss Gracie Mack.
Yes. Well, as Asabi mentioned in her last bit, I'm going to kick it out the gate. We Rock You by Queen, little indie band Queen.
I'm shocked to hear this. Wait,
it's a B-side. Yes. So I was super fascinated by this whole concept of this song as a B-side because it was released with We Are the Champions as the A-side.
Yes.
And they were really, in the band's mind, wanted to be played in succession beside each other. So kind of an A-side and a B-side because that's the way the records worked at the time, but really they saw them as a package deal together. And that's how a lot of radio stations played them. They would play them without interruption consecutively, starting with We Are the Champions into We Will Rock You. And that's because both of those songs were written, they're both anthemic. I guess the band felt like they had similar vibes, but also they were born out of this one experience that the band had when they were in the 1976 tour, a year before they released this A-side and B-side. In the 1976 tour, Day on the Races, they're in Bingley Hall in Stafford, which is like in England, and it's like Manchester and Birmingham, and then in the middle of that is Stafford. So it's sort of like heading northwest in England, and they did their set, did an encore, and then they walked off the stage, and instead of clapping and demanding another encore, the crowd started singing to them. They started singing this song called You'll Never Walk Alone, which if any of you, which I am not familiar with football,
no,
with particularly Liverpool, which is an area that's quite close to where they were, that song became a kind of staple of crowds singing that at football games, in Liverpool FC games. And so it's like a stadium song that fans would sing. And so they sung it as appreciation to the band.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And Brian May, who wrote We'll Rock You and the band's guitarist, said of it that we were just completely knocked out and taken aback. It was quite an emotional experience, really. And I think these chant things are in some way connected with that. These chant things being We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions. So that's where those two songs were born out of. And it's really, even though We Will Rock You is the B-side, I think the band really saw them as interchangeable and kind of as one. Yeah, so that's my first choice.
Beautiful,
1977.
Beautiful.
From the album News of the World is how it was eventually released.
Oh, great.
My second choice. And by the way, I didn't actually mean to be genre specific, but I kind of have been with all of my five choices. They're all 60s and 70s rock staples of some like branch of rock, not all just straight ahead rock. My second choice is You Can't Always Get What You Want, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah. Always get what you want.
Oh, okay. I was excited that we're going to keep going.
Get what you want.
This is a B-side to Honky Tonk Women.
Right.
Which is, you know, a famous song by the Stones, but this is a way bigger song.
Yeah, way better.
It's a way bigger.
It's
way better.
Song. Okay.
It's from 1969. From the album Let It Bleed was eventually how they released both of those songs. It was written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, you know, the main songwriters of the band. It was voted number 100 by Rolling Stone in the 500 greatest songs of all time.
Wow. That's a
really high up
number.
There. Yes. And the song exists in two versions. There's a single version, the shorter version. It's 4 minutes and 51 seconds. And that's what was released as the B-side. And then there's the album version, which is 7 minutes and 28 seconds.
Oh, my God.
So they really chunk it out for the album version. And so you may be familiar with both or one version if you are a fan of this song. The album version, it's really cool. Like, they have a lot of interesting things that happen, and the main difference is the very beginning of the song. The single version just starts with Keith playing the guitar, and the album version starts with an a cappella choir.
Oh.
The London Bach Choir actually is who's singing. There are a Bach choir, so they're classical voices. And apparently Mick Jagger, when he was writing the song, or when he was writing his part of the song, the parts that he wrote, he was envisioning a gospel choir. And then he, quote, said there just wasn't one around at that point. So they just got a different choir, and it happened to be London Bach Choir. And Mick Jagger said, "It'll be a laugh." That's what he said about.
Of course,
I don't know
did.
If that's his exact accent. Yeah. It's in the realm of British accent. But they just got that choir because that's what was available. Not because it's what they had visions for or anything. They were too doped up to care, I think. And I love this song. I think it's such a beautiful arrangement. It builds so, so sweetly. It has that gentle French horn in the intro in the album version, and then the congas and like really heavy percussion that comes in after the first chorus. It just has this lovely flow and build to it, and it has this these different themes that come up through the different verses. There's four verses, and the first three verses, the fourth one is just a reprise of the first, I believe. The first verse centers around love and developing that concept. The second is politics, and the third is drugs. So he moves through these different ideas, and each verse captures the essence and the initial optimism of the topic of love, politics, and drugs, and then the eventual disillusionment that comes from that, and then bring into the chorus with "You can't always get what you want."
Mm.
So it's got this really it's quite well written, really. I think it's really beautiful, despite all the kind of random haphazard things of who they got for what reason on it. It was in 1969, so some people have talked about how it really encapsulated the end of the long, overlong party that was the 60s, the end of the swing London scene. It really had this like somber tone that the party is ending. We're coming in into the 70s and leaving the 60s. But there's also this hopeful edge to it, because the last line of the chorus is, but you sometimes find you get what you need.
Yes.
Yep. So there we go. That's my second choice.
Beautiful, beautiful.
My third choice is Gloria by
Love
the band Them.
That
Gloria,
song.
Gloria. No.
I don't identify with that version.
You were excited before, but not so much anymore.
Gloria.
That's a good song. Yeah.
That is a good song too. Don't think it's a B-side though. And this
no,
one was.
No.
This one was the band Them, 1964. It was a B-side to Baby Please. a typo here. Baby Please It Go. It was definitely Baby Please Don't Go.
Yeah.
Stare, didn't proofread.
That's all.
It was one of the first songs. So Van Morrison was the lead singer of this band.
Yes.
That I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with. It was one of the first songs that he recorded with Them, with the band Them. And he wrote it as well. And it's got this great kind of like rambling style of verse. The verses, and it's super simple song. It's just three chords the whole time. It's just this really like clangy, rocky sound, 60s rock sound. And sometimes, apparently when they would perform it, Morrison, Mr. Morrison, we're not on a first name basis. He would sometimes just kind of ad-lib the verses, because it was just this love story about seeing someone, being enraptured with them and being in love with them kind of at first sight. And so sometimes he would just stretch out the song to like 15, 20 minutes because he was like rambling and improving the verses, which it if you listen to the song, which you will on our playlist,
yes,
it definitely will. You can see how that could easily happen in the style of his approach to the vocals and how the kind of chugging along background just keeps going. The band, he was only 18 at the time when he wrote this.
Wow.
When this band was happening, they were all pretty young. I think they're all similar ages. And when they recorded it, Alan Henderson, the bass player in the band, he hired some session musicians to like fatten out the band, because it didn't really feel like they had the musicality to kind of get through. And so he hired a drummer, and they already have a drummer.
Yeah.
But he hired a session drummer, and there's questions of whether he didn't mic up their actual drummer or not. It's kind of hard.
Oh.
Like some people have questioned whether he did something dodgy like that to in his mind to save the song, because he didn't think that the musicians were up to scratch in the band.
That's terrible.
Even though he's in the band. And so, but he hired an organ player and a drummer. And so he says that it was apparently the first rock record ever to use two drummers on the same song.
Right.
In the one session. So there you go. That's my third choice.
Beautiful. What's your fourth?
My fourth is still in the 60s, mm-hmm. staying hard in the 60s, 1969. It's a band called Crosby, Stills & Nash.
Oh, yes.
Are you guys familiar?
Yeah.
I love this band. Sorry. I love this band, and the song is Helplessly Hoping. They're a folk rock 60s group, and they are more famously known for their extra counterpart Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, when Neil Young started singing with them. But they did one album just as the trio, and so it's three tight vocals. It's not, sometimes they have a lead vocal, but for the most part it's three very tight, beautifully blended harmonies, which I'm always a sucker for, and just like really, really gentle guitar. That's basically the entire thing, and they just really encapsulate this 60s scene to me. Whenever I hear that music, it just makes me think of what I imagine the 60s were, because I wasn't there. But
are you sure?
Living vicariously through music.
But it just gives me this very nostalgic feeling of a time that I wasn't a part of, but that's the power of art, that it really can transport you to a time and place, even if you've never been there. And so it was a B-side to their debut single, Marrakesh Express.
Mm.
And my uncle tells me that, because he loves this band, Uncle Alan, what's up? He used to listen to this all the time, and the Marrakesh Express was the train that everyone would take to go get their weed in Marrakesh,
right,
in Morocco, over the border where it was okay, and then come back to the UK to do their thing. So apparently,
right.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Maybe.
So wait, they would go all the way to Marrakesh, get
they would
weed.
Go to Marrakesh. Or maybe they wouldn't go to Marrakesh, but it's called
far.
The Marrakesh Express, and everyone would catch that.
Okay, because I'm like, they would have to get on a ferry. Like, to get to Marrakesh, you got to go all the way to Spain.
Yeah, true. Well, there you go. Didn't do my research. I just literally just a story that my uncle told me like 5 years ago. Yeah. But it's like, it's definitely about a train that was called the Marrakesh Express, and it's where people used to go and get their weed.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
But
like,
I don't know where they were going from or to.
So the Marrakesh Express was the mental journey they were taking in their mind whilst on the weed.
Exactly. Maybe they mentally went to Morocco, because I'm like,
look, I didn't do well in geography. Okay, don't stress me out.
It's okay, Gracie Mac. It's okay. What's your fifth
choice?
Okay,
look, no, don't rush me.
Okay.
I have more.
Okay.
Unchecked,
sorry,
I have
I'm
more.
Like crying.
My uncle also tells me, just literally my next point. My uncle tells me that he told me that their first gig was at Woodstock in 1969. Like, their very first gig as a band was to 400,000 people.
Jeez.
And I did actually verify that, and that's incorrect. It was a second gig.
Okay.
Right. As a band.
But
second.
Still, that's
and they're
good.
Into the mic.
Well,
they're
I'm glad
in the,
you researched that
yeah.
point. Yeah.
They're in the, and in the Woodstock 69 film, they're in there and they say something like, this is our second gig. We're scared shitless. Like, they're just, it's just like, and they do beautifully. I mean, that's what Neil Young is singing with them at that point as well. Okay, my fifth and final choice, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
I am so excited that this is a B-side. I could not believe it.
Yeah, I'm
because
quite shocked too.
I know, it's crazy. And God only knows why it's a B-side.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It's God Only Knows by the yes. Beach Boys.
Yes.
I'm so excited because, I don't know if you guys know, but I had a party.
Yes,
and
some
I,
of
and
us
I
know.
Keep, I feel like I just keep bloody talking about it. And it's because...
I'm just like, mostly bitter because I wasn't invited to this party. That's just why.
I was really surprised that you weren't there.
Well, we're just getting to know each other.
Okay.
Look, Grace and I were only colleagues before this.
We were only
you,
colleagues
like,
before
yes.
this.
It's yeah. true. Okay, that's
yeah. yeah. But also, I was very worried about numbers.
That's true.
And it was like a dangerous thing.
You have to be cut through with the list. You do, you have to.
Someone asked to bring their housemate. I said no.
Yeah, she, that's
exactly.
true. She did.
Like,
she,
you know, when you got anyway. Busby Morale playing, I don't know who was playing.
Herbert.
Herbert.
Herbert. Oh, Herbert.
I'm like, who do you think she knows? But she knows
in
everyone.
In my hand, the party
she
had Busby.
This amazing, yeah. Okay, okay,
so
okay.
We had international
okay,
artists. Okay.
So I had this
We've
party,
really,
and
really
I
well.
And I keep talking about it because, one, because it was awesome,
it was
and I had a wonderful time. It was very epic. But it's also like the most recent thing that I've done. Like, nothing's happening at the
yeah,
moment.
No
and I had
kids.
This massive party and then nothing. So these are all my stories, all right, guys? Don't hate.
This is her life.
All my stories are really localized at the moment.
And people go to Morocco to buy weed and go back to
just hop and a skip and a jump. That's right. So the reason I bring up my party again is because it was my birthday and all of my friends sung God Only Knows to me. It was so, so beautiful. I get so teary just thinking about it. It was like they did this whole like video with a lot of people that weren't able to be there. And then they put the screen down. And everyone singing on the video was super cute to like a backing track. And then the screen went down and then all my friends were playing and singing. Asabi was one of the leads. It was so touching. And it's the most beautiful message song. And I kind of half orchestrated it. And then I was like, hey, I really like that song if you guys want to sing that for me. But a long time before the party. and it was amazing. This song, it was a B-side to Wouldn't It Be Nice, released in 1966. And Wouldn't It Be Nice, I mean, it's a nice tune. It's cutesy. It has appeal to certain markets, I suppose. But
it's
God
still
Only Knows,
the Gold
it's
Lotto
so
song,
epic.
100 years later. Oh,
yeah. What?
It's the Gold the Lottery song. It's still that. Wouldn't It Be Nice if
right.
you went to win
oh,
a million.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Well, so in the US, God Only Knows was the B-side. But actually, in other countries like the UK, it was the A-side. Mm. So for some reason, I guess they thought the US would find Wouldn't It Be Nice more palatable, which I could sort of understand because God Only Knows has some interesting things in there. There's some mm-hmm. Unusual, especially for the time, aspects harmonically, the way the song is written. You'd kind of, for the whole verse, you don't really know what key you're in. It's in this like very ambiguous, which suits the message of the song, this idea of like... I'm looking at my notes here for this quote I'm trying to find. Yes, being blind, but in being blind, you can see more. That was a quote that one of the songwriters Tony Asher said about the song.
It's clearly high.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. It's 1969. 1966. Yeah, even more so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that the song mentions God in the main lyric was pretty unusual for the time for a pop song.
Yeah, but it doesn't talk about
God as
it's not spiritual
as an entity, but just that, just like on a basic thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, just the concept that God was in the title was a little unusual for the time for a pop song. The instrumentation includes accordions, French horns, sleigh bell, harpsichord, violas and cellos. So super unusual mix of instruments. And then at the end, they have this thing that you call perpetual rounds. Mm-hmm. You know, if lots of you maybe know what a round is, where you just keep repeating one line or one phrase over and over and over. And these perpetual rounds, there's a whole bunch of different lines that come in with a different instrumentation than with the different voices. And that was super uncommon for popular music of the era. And so it was voted 25 in Rolling Stone's 500 greatest songs of all time. It's like top 30 people. And ranked by Pitchfork as the greatest song of the 1960s. And it's just so beautiful. I love this song so much. And that's why I wanted to cap off my list with it.
It's a great song, Gracie. I love that song. Yeah. I will add one little thing about the Beach Boys too, because what they wanted to do, because they had so many good songs, they wanted to just, they started releasing things as double A-sides. Because they were like, it's too good to be just a B-side song. So everything was double A-sides. And I don't know if that happened with these two songs. It might have. But yeah, they started doing that sort of trippy stuff.
Just too bloody talented.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They're so good. And I'm pretty sure Brian Wilson was high when he wrote this song.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said it was inspired by the Beatles and he was really stoned listening to their album Rubber Soul and was like, I want to write a song like this and sat down at the piano immediately. So, yes.
This is like the most Beatles sounding Beach Boys song.
Yeah.
He said he was trying to attempt to match.
And I love this song as well. And when they asked us to learn it for you, I was just like, yeah. and we had like every instrument.
It was amazing. There was a harmonium. Sam was on sleigh bell.
Yes. We had it all. And I hope somebody took video of that.
Yeah, there is a video.
Josh DeVetta,
we did not have Josh.
Except runs. Where were the vocal runs?
That's right.
I love that's like... We can talk about that later. Well,
we'll have to do our own Chefology copy. Anyway, Gracie, those were amazing choices.
Thank you
so much. All right, guys, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with our favorite segment.
Holly Dooley.
Hey.
Struth.
Struth, mate.
Look, 18 episodes in, everyone. 18 episodes in.
Bloody oath.
Legal to drink this podcast.
Legal to drink. Exactly.
In Australia. In Australia.
In Australia. So we've reached our
and
our
everywhere
legal
else in the world except America.
Wait, it's 20 in Japan.
Oh, is it? Mm. Oh, I did not know that. Because I was drinking when I was there at 12. Somebody gave me something.
Oh. Well, speaking of legal ambiguity, we're up to our favorite segment of the week, which is...
It's a flop.
You know, we've chosen some beautiful music tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and non-binary pals in between. But we also have some songs that aren't that great.
Mm.
And that's probably a reason why they are a deep album cut. / B-side,
deep.
/ unreleased.
You have to dig.
Yes. All righty, so we're going to go straight into it. Asabi, what is your flop this week?
All right, my flop is Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers.
Great choice.
It's not that it's a bad song.
It's just annoying.
Yeah, well, it's an annoying freaking song. It is an
overplayed
annoying song.
And underpaid. That's
right? Yeah. Overplayed, way overplayed. It's the B-side to Hung On You. And which I haven't even heard either, so I'm like, whatever.
Okay, if I'm going to say what version I like, it's probably maybe Peter Gabriel's, and that's about it.
Huh?
No, not Peter Gabriel. Gareth, Garth Brooks.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sorry.
Okay.
Cool. Well, you know,
anyway, I'm done.
All right, Gracie, what is a disdain in your life at the moment?
Well, at the moment, potentially controversial, but it's I Am the Walrus.
Yes.
It's a B-side, which some dads are just losing their shit at the moment.
The Beatles, the best band in the world.
Nah.
I like the Beatles. I like a lot of the things. Behind the Walls is fucking stupid. It's a stupid song.
Thank you.
And I actually could enjoy it in some situations. It was a B-side to Hello Goodbye.
Oh, that's a great song.
Which is a great song.
Yeah, I like that song.
So yeah, it's just, you know, B-side to We All Live in the Yellow Submarine.
Yeah. Which would be the B.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a kooky, and you can tell they're just like, let's be kooky.
Yeah.
That's force a kooky down your throat. Well, thank you for your opinion, Grace. My choice is probably, it's more like in the vein of all the pop princesses that are chosen tonight. And it's the opening track of her, so it's Rihanna. Now, don't get me wrong, I freaking live for Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the Rihanna Navy.
So she has a Navy?
Yeah, that's what her fan base is called.
Really?
It's called the Rihanna Navy.
Wait, was that because she was in
that movie?
Yeah, Masters of the Universe. Not Masters of the Universe. No. What was it called? G.I. Joe.
About a ship or something.
Yeah, she was in G.I. Joe.
Was she?
Yeah.
G.I. Joe?
I thought it was G.I. Joe. Or was it Pacific Rim? Sure. It was something terrible, whatever it was. Anyway.
Also, yes, but I friggin' live for that woman. Like, she is sexy. She is hot. Her music
pretty amazing.
Is just like, rung, dun, 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 dun. Like, I'm just, I get more.
Jessica's moving.
So I get.
So the opening track of her album.
It's That Bad.
It's not Anti. It's the one before that. Unapologetic. And the opening track is called Fresh Out the Runway, but fresh with a PH.
Yeah, with a PH. Oh, you know it.
Like, out of all the Rihanna songs in my life, that's not one for me. It's just not it.
Fresh out the front runway?
Fresh out the runway. Exactly. Now, but also I like love Fenty Beauty. It's like some of the best makeup I've ever put on my face in my entire life. Like, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Rihanna, but yeah, that song's just not it. So that's my
choice.
All right. And that's our podcast for this week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening in, everybody. My name is Josh DeVetta. We have Asabi Goodman.
Wahoo.
Gracie Mack.
Goodbye.
Your fellow chefologist. Thanks for coming into the lab with us, and we will see you next time. Have a good day.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.